We celebrate Memorial Day for soldiers who have died and Veterans Day for soldiers who are still alive. For great Americans, we have memorials and statues, sometimes on horses, or great monuments like the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial. We have memorials for soldiers of specific wars like the Vietnam Memorial Wall and the powerful Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. But in the church, when our heroes die, we remember them in light of death and resurrection. Rarely is a monument raised. Many times a memorial gift is made that contributes to the church ministry or church facilities. The fact is that most of our faithful saints, not perfect people, but faithful, doing their best to live God's life in them, the only memorial for them is their faithful service in the gifts of stronger ministries from their service. Our church exists today because others have passed on the gospel torch. They have invested their lives, their time, their prayers, their money so that God's kingdom might be built. These anonymous saints lift up only the name of Jesus. During the past year, 34 members of our church have died. I want to ask you to stand if you are able, that as their names are read, we might honor them on this All Saints Sunday. Please stand. Carl Red Hammond. Donna Cassidy. Juanita Nita Moore. Jean Rutland. Ruby King. Eileen Alexander. Luana Lou Verishom. Phyllis McKinnon. Martha Jane Rutland. Ted Danube. Leon Ego. Roseanne Joseph. Sue Barlow. Sam Alderman. Mary Bradley. Fran Rosemeyer. Philip Allen. Joe Maddox. Margie Klutz. Ruth Schaller. Carolyn Glenn. Mike Wilson. Bill Edwards. Judy Armstrong. Joyce Worth. Nancy Walters. Robert Boswell. Eileen Reichert. Byron Hodgkin. Larry Joyce. Jane Patterson. Russell Smith. Jean Sheldon. Ellen Cordy. And then our friends and family, Skip Parvin, K.O. Fauché, Sarah Fauché, Father Thomas Keating, Reverend Eugene Peterson, Jerry Bond, Glenn Lucas, Ann Achlin, Dick Myers, Harris Cook, Manny Suarez, Casey Stengel, Tom Green, Lloyd and Virginia Chamberless, Larry Joyce, Darlene Hawken, Charlie Sofley, Mel Tippy, Bill Dean, Anna Navans. Let us pray. O God of love and grace, we remember these faithful servants of yours, friends and family of ours, who have come home to your loving embrace Help us to honor them and honor you by offering ourselves in service to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you have thought of other names that you'd like read at the other services, if you'll pass those on to Laura or I as you go, we'd be glad to lift up those names in the next two services as well. It is a powerful day for me. When I was growing up, we didn't do much for All Saints Sunday. As a matter of fact, I probably didn't hear about it until I was in seminary. But man, when you get to read your family members' names, it feels worth it. Today we get to talk about Lazarus. As a culture, we avoid the topic of death like it's the plague. That may be the best one I have for you today, so. Fact is that death is inevitable for all of us. Death is a central part of the Christian message to the world. The core of the gospel message is death and resurrection. Without death, we as a church and as Christians have very little to give the world. We have tried at times to package the gospel in America as a revised version of the American dream, somehow perverting the gospel message to say that if we give the right way or pray the right way or have the right kind of faith, it will become a success in the ways of the world. And sometimes we don't talk enough about the hardness of discipleship, a life sometimes that includes great suffering. We sometimes don't talk about how tough discipleship is, but we talk about how much we have this otherworldly reward to come, and we lose our balance. In America, when we are telling the story of Jesus and we soft sell the core gospel message, we are selling out to our culture that we live in. And we're condemning the next generation of Christians to not know the message. The key piece of the gospel message is death and resurrection. The Christian gospel is a message of death and resurrection. One without the other, and the scales tip and we are out of balance. For many of us, when we read or hear this story about Lazarus, we are joined, we're drawn to the sign that Jesus performs and pulled into this gravitational force of awareness that Jesus has the power over death. And then he says one of the most awkward prayers ever. God, I'm telling you this so that everybody can hear me telling you this. And his point is, we're doing all of this not to show the power, but for them to realize that we're in this, doing this, and there's something different. We're so attracted to the notion that Jesus has the power over death that we're blind to the lessons in this story. This is not a story about eternal life. Lazarus dies later, again. Otherwise, we'd have other stories about this guy who still lives somewhere. This is a wonderful story foreshadowing the story with a tomb and a stone rolled away, which reminds us of the end of the story, which we already know, that Jesus is raised from the dead on the third day on Easter. This is a story that points us to Easter. But another powerful foreshadowing is the hinting that the power over death is stronger than this. When with his death comes the power to reconcile the whole world to God. The other thing that I think that if we're not careful, we'll gloss over another powerful lesson from Jesus, that this is God in the flesh, and here we get to see God in action at the time of death of one that he loves. Jesus knows Jesus has the power to get Lazarus up. Jesus doesn't have to mourn. Jesus can just do this for all his friends. But Jesus walks through grief and shows us that God in grief also weeps. Sometimes I've heard Christians say to another, don't cry, they're in a better place. I don't care if they're in a better place, I'm still sad. In this story, we get God's permission to be ourselves and grieve in the midst of loss. Even though Jesus knows his friend Lazarus is going to walk out of the grave, out of the tomb, Jesus connects and communes with family and friends gathered in mourning. Jesus weeps. There's no macho, be strong, suck it up, that's life. No, God, guys don't cry. No, dismissive, carefree, what's the problem? Let's go wake him up. No, God's ways are mysterious. This must be somehow God's will. Instead, when faced with the death of his friend, Jesus expresses a simple, heartfelt reaction. Jesus weeps. An empathetic connection. Jesus is the revelation of God, God made flesh. And in this moment, God meets us through tears. I think this lesson can teach us how to handle moments around death so much differently, to allow us to just be honest and real and have even raw emotions. There's respect. There's no need for fear. Even in death, we're not alone. Jesus is there on both sides of the transition. It's really not that mysterious to us either. We're all on the same path. And as it turns out, it is a path we're all called to follow. Once again, we can choose to follow the culture of the world or follow Christ. Friends, we cannot arrive at resurrection unless we journey through death. When we read this story, we see Jesus taking action in two ways. Both show us God. It is not that we only see God's hand and God's love when miracles happen. God is present and active in moments of compassion. Let me say that again. It's not just miraculous moments that show God. God shows up in acts of compassion. To limit God to just being a God of great power is to miss the mark. So let me be clear and let me be blunt. The path to God goes through death. We are all called to the cross. We're all called to surrender. We're all called to death. We cannot be Jesus-like without it. When we reenact it, in baptism, we get buried under the water and born into a new creation. We are called to it in the story of Nicodemus, born again and born from above. And so today I want you to ponder how it is that you might bury yourself, your selfishness, your ego. How can you go through a dying moment now and come out changed, a different person? Be forewarned that as you listen to God's dream for you, you might be called to leave your job or your riches. We may not be able to plan our future since we are living in God's purpose and God's will and dream for us. It is not our plan any longer. This is living the gospel, weaving together your life and the life of Christ in you. The most powerful way we remember the death of Jesus is in the symbol of the cross. This empty cross is a symbol of both death and resurrection. The cross used to be a symbol of guilt and shame. Only Roman criminals were crucified. The culture, the world, wanted to control people through guilt and fear and shame. And Jesus walked straight into that world of guilt and shame and fear and death and control, and walked out the other side, essentially telling us that small acts of love change everything. We remember the life and love of Jesus in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. So this morning when we read the prayer, listen closely for some key words. We'll say remember and remembrance over and over. We're not to remember the word remember, we're to remember the Christ, the resurrected, crucified one. I want you to hear the themes of thanksgiving, the baptism of suffering and death and resurrection. I want you to hear the words new covenant, forgiveness of sins, and that we offer ourselves as a sacrifice, the Holy Spirit, and hear the words final victory. Listen for all the themes of life and death when we pray our communion prayer. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, we ask for your intimate, raw, emotional, compassionate blessing during this time. That as we ponder your words and as we participate in that means of grace, that we are able to eat symbols of flesh and blood, your life, and turn it into an awareness of the gift of resurrection. That's our path too. Lord, we seek your message for us and in us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.